Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is another Thursday evening. This is LA Talk Radio, and you are listening to The Writer's Block. My name is Jim Christina. I'm your host of the show. And on the line with me tonight is Bobby Bell, my co-host, who could not make it into the studio. Say hello, Bobby.
Hello, and welcome to The Writer's Block.
Welcome to The Writer's Block. And we have actually a really strange show tonight because we have Bobby on the phone. We have our guest on the phone. We got Henry calling in. Holy crap, it's going to be a busy night. So, that being said, I made a mistake last week, Bobby, and I think you got the email that I sent out. There is no Christmas show this year.
I know. I got that email. I was kind of disappointed, I did think we had a guest for the 15th, so I wasn't totally surprised.
You were absolutely right, and you tried telling me, and I didn't listen, and that'll teach me. But it's Paul D. Marks. He's written a couple books, White Heat and Vortex. White Heat has won the Seamus Award for mysteries, which is, I think, pretty prestigious. And I believe Vortex is the one I'm reading now, and I think that one's going to creep up there and probably get close to another Seamus Award for him. So we are so close to Christmas now. Isn't that just, I mean, I get so excited this time of the year. It's just great. It's just, I mean, it's just one of those wondrous things that we get to have and you know, being in the country that we're in. I am going to go ahead and introduce our guest tonight. And we've got, she is from Michigan, actually from California and Michigan. And she is now in Florida via cell phone. Marisol has been writing for 35 years. That's a long time. She started her career writing romances, 25 published, 2 were Rita finalists. And let me get Henry on here, too, and I'm going to put him on pause. Mr. Park.
How are you?
I am finer than frog's hair. How are you?
I'm peachy keen, thank you.
Oh, good. I'm going to cut you in with Maris and Bobby. So
that's lovely.
Everybody should be on now. Maris, are you there with us? No? Okay.
No, Maris.
Hello? Maris, no, she's not there. She's not there. Bobby, are you there? Well, I'll be damned. Oh, there we go. Is everybody here?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Well, crap.
Well, it's...
I know they're there because I just talked to them. Okay, let me,
yes, indeed.
Let me merge
listening.
Your call. Anyway, go ahead and tell me what you got for me tonight, Henry.
Absolutely. Well, by the way, did you watch the season closer of Westworld on Sunday?
I actually have it recorded. I will watch it when I get an opportunity.
I'm worse than that. I'm 8 episodes behind.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so don't tell me anything.
I won't tell you anything.
I still have 4 episodes of Hell on Wheels to finish.
It is just now getting really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely stunned at the season ender, and you will be too as soon as you get to watch it.
Terrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now, about the roundup, I decided to try something different, at least for me.
Okay.
And do Christmas gift selections, recommendations, or the Western Nut. And the first one, Bobby actually found for me a musical recommendation because it's the Gene Autry Melody Ranch Christmas show.
Uh-huh.
Which, have you heard that?
No.
It is wonderful. What they did was they cherry-picked the best from 15 years of Gene Autry Christmas shows.
Uh-huh.
Just wonderful stuff.
Oh, cool. Cool. 15 years of Gene Autry shows, really?
That's right. It's from 40 to 54, 55.
Oh, wow. That's a long time. I remember seeing
and probably
Gene
more
shows.
Than one, you know, Christmas themed thing for years. They had plenty of good stuff to choose from.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I have our engineers in here trying to figure out how to get everybody on the line. He's just as lost as I am. So,
sorry about that.
No worries.
Oh, right. Oh, and I'm recommending our pal Courtney Joyner's second shotgun novel, The Bleeding Ground.
I actually just finished that. Oh,
there's somebody.
That's Bobby.
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Hang tough, Bobby.
I'm here now, too.
Okay, good. We got them all, Ronan.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Maris, this is our friend, Henry Park. Maris Soule.
Hi, Maris.
And, of course, Bobby's here.
We're good.
And I just finished Courtney's second book, Shotgun, Bleeding Ground.
Yes.
Excellent book.
You know, as you folks in publishing know better than I do, the original paperback original Westerns, especially series ones, have been kind of a downward spiral for a while, with a lot of series canceled, and it's been pretty scary. So
right.
I think it's terrific that Courtney's Shotgun series is just so fresh and audacious. It's really pumping new life into the genre.
Well, it really truly is, and he's got such great storylines.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The only problem is I found that they didn't make Uberti guns back in the 1860s.
Oh.
So, Courtney.
Well, now they'll have to go back in time and do it.
I'm now tisking you, Courtney, wherever you are.
It's artistic license.
I know, huh?
What is art without artistic license?
Okay, fine. Artistic license if you need. So what's going on with the...
We write fiction.
That's right. What's going on with the Roundup, Henry? Anything really cool?
I'm sorry?
What's going on with the Roundup? Anything really cool besides Christmas stuff?
Yeah, well, I've got some good stuff coming up. Oh, and this is just for people in Los Angeles. If you're going to be in L.A. a week from tomorrow, Friday, December 16th, actually through Thursday the 22nd, you can be among the very first people anywhere to see a terrific new Australian Western, The Legend of Ben Hall, which is about one of their great bushrangers who was sort of their Jesse James.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only played for 1 week in Australia. Now it's 1 week here for Oscar considerations.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
And so they're running that at the Lemley Town Center in Encino. And one thing I'm very excited about coming up, a week ago Sunday, I was very flattered to be invited to the premiere, which was really a friends and family thing, a screening of a new Western called Gone Are the Days. It stars Lance Henriksen as a dying outlaw who's trying to make amends for past mistakes. And he's got with him is Emmy winner Tom Berenger as an old associate who's now a lawman, and an actor that I love and I don't see nearly enough. Remember Steve Rell's back? It was so chilling as Charles Manson and Helter Skelter.
Oh, and Helter Skelter, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's in there. He plays a procurer, we could say. And I got a great interview with Lance before the screening that's coming soon to the Roundup. And you know why he fell in love with this script?
No.
He said there's so much physical stuff in the first, 15 minutes. It reminded him of Buster Keaton, and I thought that was crazy. And I saw it, and it really, really is an amazing, opening sequence where, so many pratfalls and stuff. I was kind of stunned, but great stuff.
Well, he was in Appaloosa, too, wasn't he?
Oh, he sure was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I'm going blank on his other Westerns.
Oh, he's done
but,
a ton of them.
Terrific in Appaloosa.
Yes, he was. Gunfighter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
An old-time gunfighter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I want to plug the January True West is coming out with my Best of the West movie and TV picks for the year.
Okay. Plug.
And
I
live
to do
plug,
that.
I know.
I had to do that.
Well, of course. He's also on because you're a writer.
I know, huh?
Oh,
so
oh, that.
We need to be sure that we're honoring the publication you write for.
Well, Henry, you need to spread it around. You can say, hey, I was on the writer's block. I had a whole hour. Twice.
Well, and
oh,
Henry,
by the way,
go ahead.
Uh-huh. No, please.
I was just
going to say.
Mm-hmm. All right, one at a time.
You talk.
That's funny. I was just going to say that I will be getting a hold of you to talk about some live presentation and interviews for the Buckaroo Bookshop next year. We have our list of authors, and we've got some new folks joining us, and we've got some wonderful folks coming back, and I'm sure you're going to come up with some really great ideas of some panel discussions.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
I'm very excited about being able to come back and do that again. It's been great fun the last couple of years that we did that, and can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad you've got a big performing area, too.
We do.
Yes, we have a 10 by 30 stage this year. So, all my deadlines are coming down on information that I have to get to the city for the festival's website and such. So you'll be hearing from me shortly.
And I better be answering.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you know what? You can read all about this and more at Henry's Western Roundup, www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
And you did it. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon, bud.
You betcha. Okay. Have a great show, folks.
Okay, Henry. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And just like to let you know that the Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing. They have good folks at Black Dog in Simi Valley. And if you are our new writer and don't know how to quite navigate the system, give us a call. The number there is 805-795-3165. And they can probably hold your hand and walk you through it. And it's brought to you by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center at which number, Bobby?
Let's see, 661-347-9700.
Alrighty.
We can wrap up your holiday for you, no problem at all.
There you go, and I assume you guys are somewhat busy on your website?
We are. Processed quite a few orders today, got a lot of things drop shipping from Rock Mount Ranchwear and Dan Post Boots, and yeah, this is, you know, we're just Santa's elves, we're his helpers.
Well,
so.
There you go. There
doing
you go.
Our part.
Okay, then. And as everyone who listens to the Writer's Block knows, every week we mention Target Freight Management and Target Freight Truckload Service because they are, of course, one of our major sponsors. And we mentioned that they have a full truckload service. That's the best in the industry. But have we mentioned to you that TFM Truckload is the finest in the industry and gets your freight there every time, on time, at the rates you need for your transportation cost, to make sense? Call today. 844-653-7789. Tell them you heard it on the Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something extra for you. And while I'm at it, if you're an LTL shipper, you are probably looking for the best rates with the least hassle in the industry. Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just the ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web. Call today. You won't be sorry you did. And a Merry Christmas to everyone at Target Freight Management. They're just great folks all the way around. If you want to talk to our guest tonight, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. I'm not going to guarantee you we can make it work, but the number, we will try. The number is 818-602-4929. Now, back to Maris's bio. She's got 25 romance novels. She's just a prolific writer. She has got four, I believe it is four. Is that not correct, Maris? Four suspense novels?
Four published so far.
Right.
And the fifth one's coming up.
Right. And the fifth one is coming up. Plus, she's got short stories. She's just, I mean, she's just like all over the map. The woman is just like a great, great writer. In fact, Bobby and I just finished her latest book, A Killer Past. And it is just quite the story. It's one of those page burners. You can't quite put it down. And as Bobby said earlier, that she was late for a function because she was reading the book. Maris is from California, moved to Michigan, got married to her husband in California. And there she is. I mean, she's now in Florida, and she's talking to us on the phone. Would you please welcome Maris Soul to the Writer's Block?
Well, thank you, Jim and Bobby.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, you describe A Killer Past. The concept is Laura Croft at age 74. Having watched, I only saw one of the movies, The Tomb Raider. I mean, that chick was like all over the screen, and I can see where you came up with that, because this woman in this book is 74 years old. Her name is Mary Harrington. Her super secret name, should I say it? Can I say it?
Sure.
Is Pandora Coy. And she was
what a great name.
Yeah, I know, huh?
A great name.
She was an agent for ADEC, and I'll have Maris tell you what ADEC stands for.
Mm-hmm. That would be you, Maris. That was the American Department of Environmental Control.
Right, but they're actually an assassination organization.
Well, yeah, it's an environmental control. They control the elements in the environment they feel are dangerous.
right. Can you go into a little bit about the actual storyline itself? Because I found it fascinating, and I'm sure everybody who listens to the show tonight. Incidentally, this show is heard around the world. In case you didn't know.
Oh, that's good. That is nice.
So if you have friends in Germany or Russia, they can hear you.
I was going to say, the book was actually published by a publisher in London and, was to all English-speaking countries available. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice that your show is heard around the world, too.
Right, it mm-hmm. is, and we're proud of that. Aren't we, Bobby?
Yeah.
We are. we are. Yes, go ahead and tell us a little bit about this, about the story behind this book.
There's two parts to the story. My husband and I were taking a walk with a dog and kind of creeping along because we're getting up in age ourselves. And I laughed and I said, I wonder what these, assassins and people like Laura Croft, and we had just seen a TV show, Nikita, and, they're always young and agile and beautiful, and they can take on anybody. And, what are they like when they're 74? Well, that's how I start the book, mm-hmm. is that Mary is... having some car trouble. She's not very far from her house. It's just before Halloween, but she sees a couple of they turn out to be gang members sitting on a vacant house's steps, and she's alert enough to know that she's probably going to have her purse stolen or something, so she kind of sets herself up that go ahead, take the purse, but the two guys decide that they want more than the purse. They want, to be able to have her car keys and things like that. And this kind of triggers her to react back to what she was trained to do when she was in her 20s, and those two guys end up in the hospital. And the only problem is that for 44 years she's been keeping her past a secret, and now she's alerted one of the local police men, a sergeant, who is really, it's a small town, so he's the only investigator on the force. And as he starts checking in how this older woman was able to put two punks into the hospital, he starts discovering he can't find anything about her past those 44 years when she first moved in, and that's how the story progresses.
Right.
It's so clever.
It truly is. And poor Jack Rossini, who is the sergeant,
yeah.
the police sergeant. He's so lost in this whole thing. He's just like, he can't figure anything out. He's just like totally lost. But he becomes
a
hero.
He's very perceptive. He knows there's a story here.
Absolutely. You know? And he's like a dog with a bone. He's just not going to let go.
Right.
Well, one of the things that I liked about it, too, was that she is 74. And I think so often we look at, older folks in our community or people in line with us at the grocery store or whatever, and we don't really think a lot about what kind of life did they have when they were younger, or what kind of story is there in their background, mm-hmm. we mm-hmm. just don't see them necessarily. And I began to look at people today when I was out and about. I sort of was looking at people with a different eye, wondering like, I wonder what your story could be.
Right. Yeah.
Well, there's another thing too, is that so many books that are written about older heroines, whether they are the Agatha Christie type heroines and such, they're usually, they use their minds to solve the mm-hmm. mysteries. But you know, their age is kind of played on, and they're shown as a little bit more feeble. You know, they can't get around. Well, I didn't want that kind of a character. I wanted somebody that was still very, very agile. And of course, I then created that Mary goes to the gym on a regular basis, and she is in good physical shape.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you wrote a story about a hot 74-year-old. Come on.
Yeah, and you know, as I was writing it, a couple of people said, who do you think of? And I think, you know, of Helen Mirren. She would be the kind of person that could play this part if it was ever made into a movie.
Absolutely.
Because, because she's an older woman, but she's certainly not fragile.
No, she's,
Well, and she's... At one point in the book, we kind of are led on an idea that she could kind of go back to that life. The opportunity sort of is presented. And I thought at that moment as a reader, I thought, oh, I wonder if there'll be a whole series and we're going to get to, you know, where she's going to go back. You know, you're going to open
but
the door.
Then you got to the end.
Well, yeah. Yes, but we don't want to do a lot of spoiler alert.
No.
But I am working on another book in which Mary and Jack are the main characters. So
well, he liked her.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of liked her a lot.
Yeah. Well, and I think we see that as the book goes along too.
Right.
There's definitely character development going along there. And I also enjoyed how you wove the past histories of some of the characters into how you told those stories in the telling of the current story.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you gave it to us a little at a time, and I really liked how you did that.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. And, you know, I have to tell you, as soon as Jack Burroughs was introduced, I knew he was dastardly. He had to be.
David Burroughs. You mean David, right?
David Burroughs,
yes.
Yeah. I knew he was a dastardly guy. I knew he was a bad dude. He had to be. So.
Well, then you're more astute than me because I was hesitant about him. I wasn't sure which way we were going to go. It took me a little while to figure out which way we were going to go.
Well, see, I think Maris pegged it. The guy's a government employee. You can't trust him. And the fact that he was still a government employee.
I have a terrible habit. A lot of times when I write my stories, it isn't until the end that I figure out who the bad guy is.
You know, I do the same thing, and so don't feel bad. I never know who the real bad guy is going to be, unless it's like the deacon or the preacher or somebody. But I have here's the question I have for you. As you're developing a story like A Killer Past, as each character tends to grab its own life and become real to you. How do you introduce in your mind the other characters that you're going to put in with them as co-protagonists, say Shannon or Robbie? Who calls your kid Robbie? Nobody. or Jack. How do you form these people to be able to slip them in? Where they're almost so complete when they finally join the cast, I guess is the way to put it, join the cast of the characters in the book. So how do you do that?
I do a lot of thinking about them, and they become very real to me as I work them out in my mind. And also, I am a terrible writer as far as being a very efficient writer. And Bobby, if you've read any of my blogs, you know that I can't write straight through. Like, you know, they always say, just start writing and write straight through and then go back and do the editing. But these characters, as I'm writing, I do get to learn more about them. And sometimes then I have to go back into an earlier chapter and begin to add the elements that I know they're going to need or that's going to make them more interesting as a person. Uh-huh. So it's a forward and back in my mind, out of my mind. Most of the time I'm out of my mind.
Well, that's why you should have a ready supply of wine in your cupboard. As you said on your Facebook post tonight. Well, I don't know if it's one, two, or three glasses of wine, but, you know.
Actually, I only had one.
Well, you know, I'm sorry.
About my wine a lot.
Okay, here's a question for you also. Do your characters oft times, do they always do what you expect them to do? Or as you're writing them, do you find that they do things that totally surprise you?
And again, I think the more real they become, the less control I have over them. Mm-hmm. It's because as they become more complete people, characters, then there's sometimes I may have thought I could control and have them do something, but they suddenly tell me, nope. And I think it was your last week's show. You said something about writer's block, mm-hmm. which you know kind of fits with the theme of your program.
Well, we will be asking you that too. So,
yeah. the only writer's block I run into is when I try to force a character to do something that I've built into their character qualities that won't allow them to do what I thought it, I was going to have them do. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answered your question or not, but they just develop and they often lead me to directions that I didn't realize the story was going to go. I had one gal say, well, let me see your outline. And I said, well, I have a vague outline. I know how the story is going to begin, right. And I know how it's going to end.
Right.
And things are going to happen in the middle.
Right. My outline is in my brain.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it changes.
Now we,
but,
we ask a lot of people about the same question about when their characters do they do strange things that you know are not on track for what they're trying to get them to do, and
yeah.
Court had the same answer. He goes, yeah, you know, they just kind of like take on their own life and they just do their own stuff, and you can't force them into anything they don't want to do, and I found that amazing because I found the same thing as I'm writing my characters. So, Bobby, you said something.
Yeah, and that's why it's. Always nice to be able to talk to another writer because normal people don't understand when you're having this conversation with somebody that's totally in your imagination or you say, you know, I just can't get her to do what I want.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I was sitting there talking to the hunter last night and he told me I couldn't do that. You know,
yeah, exactly.
And they say, who's a hunter? And you know, oh, it's my character in my book. So,
yeah,
I get that. Go ahead, Bobby.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Well, I'm going to change direction just for a moment.
Oh, please do.
Because you have written so many books, and your covers are very, some of them are very titillating. They're very captivating. Some of them have just really powerful graphics, like the Crow series and such. And I know you had at least one blog entry kind of about covers. Can you tell us a little bit about the process for choosing a cover for your books, how you do go about doing that?
Well, actually, I have been traditionally published, and so most of the time, I haven't had a lot of control over the covers. I mean, writers always are asked to submit some suggestions for covers, but we don't always get what we want. With my romances, the ones that I am now releasing as e-books, that is the fun because now I am able to have control over the covers, and I'm really enjoying the fact that I can make the cover closer to the way I imagined that my characters would look than the way the art department of either Harlequin or Silhouette mm-hmm. Or Bantam thought they were going to. I will say Bantam's, no, I take that back. Bantam went through a period of time where they had listened to all the people saying they didn't want any more clinches on the romance covers, so they put flowers all around them, and that really, really, really didn't work.
No more clinches? Oh, my God.
Well, I know there are several that as I look at the covers, I think, oh, I'm going to have to, I just have to read that one.
Did it make you blush, Bobby?
Destiny Unknown is bound to be a book that I will get read sometime in the near future, for instance.
Oh, great. Yes, I did. I did like that. I have a gal that lives in Michigan, and she does a lot of publicity for me, and she works on the covers with me. And this is what's so great, is because I can look through some of the, you know, photo spots that you can go to for ideas, and I can, you know, I can tell her what my hero I want to look like, or my heroine. And then I can send her some pictures, and she'll send me back what she thinks. And if I don't like it, I can say no. And, you know, I've never had that real opportunity with the bigger publishing houses. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Any publishing houses. Now, I'll take that back and say that I really have liked what Five Star did with the Crow series. Mm-hmm. I think they do really stand out and are stunning covers for that, and it gives the mood of the books too. And of course, we don't have clinches on those. So
no, you have crows.
We have crows. Yeah, the only misguided part, and that's because I use the crow theme through it. Is a lot of people think they're books about crows.
Bro. Well, then they don't have much imagination, Maris.
What I do in the Crow series, always try to give some information about crows so that there is a little bit of that in the stories, uh-huh, too.
Well, your writing certainly is, it drags your attention, and it keeps your attention. I'm not much of a romance reader, and I probably will never read one of your romance novels. So I'll
yeah,
be,
man, that's you, fine.
You might be missing out, Jim. You might be a romance writer hidden deep inside you.
You know, there could be, but I kind of doubt that. But, you know, I like blood
and
guts. Well,
I've been transitioning really from the romance over to the mystery.
Mysteries?
The first book had a lot more romance in it than any of the following ones. And the book that I have coming out in March, Echoes of Terror, I'm doing my plug now.
Oh, please do.
Which takes place in Skagway, Alaska. It's a totally different book. It's a thriller, not a mystery or even a suspense. And there's basically no romance in that until the last two pages.
Wow, a two-page romance?
Yeah, and maybe not even there.
So tell us about your process, Maris. How do you sit down and craft your story? How do you write? What is your day like?
It's a lot different now than it used to be. I'm retired. My husband is retired, and my standing joke, he's in the other room, so he can't hear me, but he has heard it before. Oh. Is when we were first married and I started writing, I was writing romance. When he retired, I turned to murder. He was always surround, and it was a lot safer to murder people on paper.
I just killed another one, dear.
I used to, when my husband was working and when my children were in school, I had large blocks of time to write, mm-hmm, and I did. 1 year I wrote 4 romances. I was under contract for both Silhouette and Bantam and had to get books to both of those publishers. Mm-hmm. That just about burned me out. But with a romance, I could do that. With mysteries, it's a much longer process. I have to learn a lot. This one that I'm working on right now, the follow-up to A Killer Pass, I need to learn about cane fighting. So, you know, I'm hoping I can take a class in it, but so it takes me longer. And I've been going to the Writers Police Academy and learning more about police techniques and such. So just simply the process of getting the research is taking me longer. And then I have this retired husband that keeps poking his head in and saying, I don't want to bother you, but, and so that kind of slows down my writing a bit. My writing process is I do it when I can, and if I don't get to it often enough, I start biting people's heads off.
Hey, Bobby asked a question last week, and I actually, do you remember what it was, Bobby?
Was it the one where I asked... what would be a question
yes.
that you'd love to be asked that
yes.
nobody's ever really asked you?
Yes.
Or something like that, right, Jim?
That's the one. Ask it.
So, Maris, what's a question that nobody has ever really asked you that you always wished to be asked?
Actually, I mean, I've been doing this for over 35 years, and... I think I've probably gotten just about every question thrown my way. There's some I don't want to be asked. But, no, I can't think of any that I wish somebody would ask me. So,
really?
Sorry.
Well, how about some of these questions? Jim and I have asked these over time, and it's always a little fun. Do you have a favorite place that you like to write in, or a favorite chair or room?
Anywhere where I can be completely quiet, so I can go into my own world. And sometimes that's even a coffee shop where there's noise around me, but. It becomes white noise for me,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to be interrupted when I'm in my world, because then that pulls me away from what's going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my favorite place is anywhere where people leave me alone.
Do you have an agent?
Not anymore. Yeah. I had a wonderful agent for 18 years when I was writing the romances, and she helped teach me how to write even. But she went into kind of semi-retirement, and I stopped writing the romances. So I can't say we parted the ways, but, you know, there just was no longer... the connection. So no, I had an agent for one book, and that didn't work out. I guess I was spoiled by my first agent. So.
Gotcha. Wow.
So.
We have an agent that sends a lot of writers our way, and her name is Jeannie Loyocano. She's out of Texas, and
okay.
I would say about every third or fourth writer we get is one of hers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I understand she's a great agent. I've only talked to her on the phone a couple times. I mean, I get a lot of emails from her.
Yeah, we had it, and she was a guest.
She was a guest on the show.
Mm-hmm. Just so interesting to have the opportunity to speak to folks involved in the publishing business that are not necessarily writers,
right.
but bring to this world the other important pieces of it. You know, how a writer gets found. How do you do a query letter? What is a query letter?
I teach writing for publication a lot of times, and that's one of the reasons I have that blog going, is to help help writers. I like that, but it's really good when you can hear it from either an editor or an agent. What are they looking for? You know, what don't they want? So when I go to conferences, I always try to sit in on those kinds of sessions.
Mm-hmm. Where do your stories come from? Do you draw them? I mean, do you just sit and have an idea and develop a story from there? Or do you grab an idea from another story and do it that way? Or
Everyone comes usually from a different idea. As I said, with Killer Past, it came from just the idea of what would an assassin be like. Mm-hmm. In her older age, and of course, then it, you know, I had to start going, well, you know, if she was an assassin then, why isn't she still an assassin? Why is she still alive,
right,
even?
Right.
With the Crow's books, my first Crow book was, I was living out in the country, and we had crows around all the time, and a couple of hunters were killed just outside of a field when they were, and nobody knew why they were killed or who they were killed. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's still somewhat of a question. That triggered that book. With the Alaskan book, it was the Elizabeth Smart abduction that triggered that book idea. So everything comes from what's around me.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you working on next?
There you go.
Well, as I say, I'm working on a follow up for Mary Harrington. It's really funny. I always think I'm writing a standalone, and then I start getting people coming up to me and saying, "Well, when are we going to get another book about Mary Harrington?" And so after a while, I thought, well, you know, let's see what we can think of. And I don't want to tell you what triggered that, because that would give away too much of the story.
Okay.
So,
when do you think that might be out?
The rate I'm going, I hope it's out by 2020. No.
Well, you have it listed March of 2017.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of thinking I might self-publish that book. I mean, everybody's talking about self-publishing now, and, you know, as I said, I kind of like the control one has over the covers, and so I'm thinking that I might give that a try. I love my editor that I have with Five Star, and I know he does freelance editing, so mm-hmm. I probably would use him and come up with a cover for it and give a try and see if it comes out okay or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't call it self-publishing anymore. It's independent publishing.
Right, or yeah. So. There's another word too. But yeah, you're right, independent now.
Right. So what do you like to read when you sit down and grab a book? What is it that you like to read?
I am very, very eclectic in my reading tastes. I belong to two book clubs, and to be honest, just trying to keep up with them sometimes. And then, of course, I have writer friends that I feel, oh, geez, I've got to read that author's book. So I have always read mysteries. I really had never read romances like Harlequins and such until I started writing them, and I thought, gee, I better find out if there's anybody that publishes this, and lo and behold, they do.
Yeah.
I like as I say, I like adventure books. I like fast-paced books, I guess, but then I also like biographies, and I'm not much into historical and I'm not much into science fiction,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not against it either. If it's a well-written book, I'll read it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, in the time
so
we... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, when's yours out, or where do I find yours?
Oh, on Amazon, you can get them on Amazon. Actually, you can buy them directly from Bobby Jean. She has them there in her store.
Yes, they're up on our website.
And
yep,
they're all signed.
On our website. Mm-hmm.
And I have actually a new one coming. I'm about three quarters of the way done with it. This one's going to take me almost a year to write. So it's been taking a long time. But again,
yeah, but that's what I find with and what genre are you writing?
Oh, I do westerns.
Okay, yeah.
Fast-paced westerns. There you go.
Yes, very okay. Very fast-paced.
Then that sounds good.
And historically, and they are
extremely
historically accurate, right,
very
Jim?
Very historically accurate.
So, well, that's good.
Yes, yes, we like
that's
it.
That's another thing I like is accuracy.
They are that. It's like I say, if you're looking for Louis L'Amour, you won't find him here.
No.
Okay.
So, in the time we have left, Maris, why don't you tell our audience where they can contact you, your website, your Facebook address, email address?
Our website is simply marisol.com, or if you want the www.marisol.com. And then I do write a blog every Wednesday, and it's simply all you have to do is write marisol.com/blog/, and that'll get you to that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are either about writing or they're about writers and things of that nature. Sometimes I have a guest writer on. I'm on Facebook as simply look up Marisol. I have an author's page and personal page. I'm on Twitter as Maris South Haven, and I'm on LinkedIn just as me, Marisol, and I'm on Pinterest. I'm also a painter, so you'll find some of my paintings on there too. So,
wow. You're a busy girl. How do you have time to be retired?
I think I'm on other things, but I don't always remember to go check them.
And your books are available where?
Books are available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And to give a plug for a store that's really helped me in the past, Kazoo Books, which is it's kazoobooks.com, I'm pretty sure. It's located in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Okay.
And yes, there really is a Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. And she carries my books also. But most all of the online spots will have them. So.
Well, make sure that she knows that she can go back and listen to this podcast.
Yes, I will let her know.
And you mentioned her store. Do you have her phone number handy? Well,
pardon
me? We'll shamelessly plug her if you have her phone number handy.
The name is that Kazoo Books?
Kazoo,
yeah.
Are you looking it up, Bobby?
Kazoo Books.
Yep, I'm looking them up right now. Isn't that fun? Kazoo Books, excite your mind.
There you go.
Michigan, let's see if I can get a phone number here. They're just at kazoobooks.com. And let's see, Kalamazoo, Michigan, contact us. Okay, talk for another minute there, Jim, and then I'll get the phone number.
Oh, okay. Well, Maris, I hope you had a good time talking to us tonight, because we sure had a nice time talking with you.
Oh, I had a wonderful time. Thank you.
And as I told you, I'm going to be sending you a Writer's Block coffee mug. And I have to dig through some old CDs, but I will find you that Sgt. Pepper's CD for you.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
And
I
send
that
to
one.
You as well. So you'll have a CD and a coffee mug coming from me.
Yeah. I stayed in the same motel with the Beatles way back in the 60s. I was in Madrid, Spain.
Wow.
That was kind of exciting. Also met Omar Sharif trip. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 60s, I mean, he was, like, totally hot. Even thought he was hot.
And he was in his prime at that time.
Oh.
And the disgusting part was he was a really beautiful woman.
Of course.
Well, he's Omar Sharif. I mean, you know, I don't think he'd pick up a homeless lady.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Do we have a number, Bobby?
For allowing me to spend an hour with you.
Oh, it was wonderful talking to you. Bobby, do we have a number?
Yes, in fact, this website is really fun, and I'm going to make a plea out there that when you are shopping, support your local independent booksellers.
Oh, please do.
They're really, really important to the community, and this looks like a really fun place, and they've got a website. You can shop there, and their phone number is 269-385-2665. support your independent bookseller
and
in your community.
Kazoo Books in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yep, Kazoo Books. Yep.
And Marisol.
But she ships anywhere.
Yep.
Marisol, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a hoot.
Thank you, Jim and Bobby.
And keep writing. Don't
yeah,
stop.
Yeah, keep writing. And we'll keep reading.
We'll keep reading. You keep writing.
All right.
Okay,
you.
Have fun. Have a great evening. Go have another glass of wine.
I will now.
Okay. Take care now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Bobby Jean.
Yeah.
Nice lady.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, another really great show.
Another great show.
It's just so much fun to have the opportunity to speak to the all of these authors that create such wonderful works of art, really.
I know.
And I was right there with Mary through that whole book, and I felt my aching bones realized I need to start working out some, Jim, because, you know.
Well, you know what? The bookie tells me that next week, I believe, she's starting to book into June.
Yeah, I get that, and I know that I've sent some
yes.
names her way, and hopefully some of those folks are getting in touch with
they,
her.
They are dribbling
I think
in now.
We're going to have an astounding year of authors, and I keep finding new ones as I'm out there looking.
Well, you know, the deal is now we couldn't quit if we wanted to.
I know, we really can't.
We have too many people wanting to be on the show, so. Okay.
So tell our listeners, because we know we have writers in our audience, Jim, why don't you tell them quickly what they need to do to get on the show?
If you want to get on the Writer's Block, and please want to get on the Writer's Block, because we have so much fun with you guys, send an email to guestwb@yahoo.com. That's our bookie. That's Jerry Christina. And she will send you information and on what you have to do to send everything back and get on the show. It's guestwb@yahoo.com. If you're interested, send her an email and tell her what's going on, and she will be more than happy to send you back everything you need. That being said, Bobby Jean, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, I didn't want to miss it.
Well, you didn't, and it was a great show, and we enjoyed having you in here. And this is another end of another Thursday for us. Next week, of course, we have Mr. Paul D. Marks, writer of White Heat and Vortex. He'll be possibly in the studio. He lives in right up by you, actually.
Oh.
But he doesn't know if he's...
wonderful if he could come into the studio.
I know. He doesn't know if he's going to be able to make it in or not, but we hope so. Otherwise, he'll be on the phone, and that's it for another Writer's Block. Thank you so much for listening. Y'all have a good time right here on LA Talk Radio.